Well, thank you for being with us for our little 5-minute cognitive reflection. Can I reinforce the fact that this is a cognitive reflection? It's focused on your learning and your deeper understanding of media law. It's not a relaxation session, it's not a mental health session. In this period, I am certain there are many students who are experiencing anxiety, stress, other mental health issues as a result of the global situation right now. Firstly, I refer you to our free counselling services at Griffith University. So take full advantage of their online resources and their face-to-face, telephone and online counselling services that are all free for our students. Please make use of them. If you did simply want to engage in more mental health or psychology-related meditations or reflections, then please take full advantage of those that are offered by Griffith Counselling and are also featured in the mindful practice area of our site. So we've uploaded a different one each week, and I understand some of you might be doing some of those. And of course, there's a wealth of other meditations out there online that you might find better suited to your liking. So, but just remember, this one is more of an educational kind of reflection. So this will just be 5 to 10 minutes. Thanks for staying with us. You'll be sitting at home because there's no one here in the lecture theatre. So, but thanks for bearing with us. So our procedure is to sit upright in a comfortable position, and please look downwards or close your eyes for this session. And we start with 3 deep breaths, ideally in and out of your nose. Feel the cool air entering your nostrils, breathing right down into your tummy. And feel the warm air leaving your nostrils. For those of you wanting to do more of a relaxation or an anti-anxiety meditation, it's at this point typically a meditation might have you undertake a body scan. And that might take 20 minutes or so while you breathe through thinking of the different parts of your body from top to bottom, from your head to your toes, working your way down. So that's something you might like to try if you are wanting to do more of a relaxation one at some stage. Defamation is centred upon communication which has upset or damaged somebody. So today's reflection is about what we call wise speech or wise communication. All of our communication has consequences. Just when we say something to a friend, it can be emotional or social consequences. An email or an announcement might have career consequences for people, but there can also be legal consequences, as we've been learning today in defamation. So it's even more important that we pause to reflect before communicating, before we have that ripple effect of how our words and our action of publishing material upon others. Sometimes we know that people are going to be upset by what we're about to say, and there's not a lot we can do about it. When the managing director of Qantas issued a memo saying that 20,000 staff would be put down, would be stood down, I'm sure that was considered very carefully before it was communicated. It was a communication that had to happen, albeit with dire impacts for the people receiving it. We need to understand that our speech, in all of its forms, can also be amplified on social media. So the ripple effects of our Facebook post can be communicated time and again to thousands or millions of others. We see that with the misinformation that comes through social media memes and spam messages, copy and share communications, cut and paste. The ripple effect is exponential with some of these, and it can be quite damaging because people might do or not do something that they shouldn't or should do as a result of that communication. So we have to pause to reflect. The principle of wise speech is common to all religions. All religions counsel against gossip and falsities. The Catholic Church has a catechism which counsels against gossiping and speaking ill of others. A colleague in media law of mine in the UK is Jewish, and he tells me there is a similar principle in Judaism. The Buddhism example is fairly simple, and it can apply very well to journalism and public communication. It goes like this. If you know something to be factual, true, beneficial, but unendearing and disagreeable to others, you have a sense of the proper time for saying it. So something might even still be factual, it might be true, it might be beneficial, but it might upset people. You would need to time that communication very carefully. Of course, if it wasn't factual or true, if it didn't benefit people or it didn't stand to benefit people in some way, you shouldn't be communicating it at all. So let's reflect upon that, particularly in this current environment. The media, journalists, public relations practitioners have to continue to do their work in these circumstances. But people are very vulnerable. Whether or not they already had stress and anxiety in the current global situation, this would be exacerbated at the moment. So it's even more important that our communications are carefully reflected upon before we make them, and that applies to journalism as well. I heard some of the leading journalists talking on the ABC's Insiders program about this yesterday, and they were talking about the need for the media, not necessarily just to sing from the government's songbook, but also not to unnecessarily seek out contentious views, to look for arguments and conflict and try to inflame and exacerbate them. And I think on reflection sometimes that is what the mainstream media relies upon as part of, or sections of the media rely upon that as part of their business model. So how does this idea of having a sense of timing for saying something, if it's unendearing and disagreeable to others, how does that sit with your moral code or religion? Just think about that for a second. Breathe through it. Parents have often said to children, if you can't think of something good to say about someone, don't say anything at all. That might inform your moral code in some way. Or you might come from a different religion from those I've mentioned. Christianity, Catholicism, Judaism, Buddhism. Perhaps you're a Sikh or a Hindu. Perhaps you are from a different religion that has a view on wise speech. How might it affect your communication with family and friends and on social media at the moment? And finally, how does it sit with defamation law? Well, we learned this week that defamation is damage to someone's reputation. Historically, it had a religious dimension, with the idea of damage to someone's soul by destroying their reputation. And we learn next week about the defences, some of which centre upon this idea of material being excused if it's factual, true, beneficial, even though it might be unendearing and disagreeable to others, as long as it's published reasonably, and sometimes that means at the appropriate time. For example, not digging things up from the long distant past and saying them about people. So this reflection has given us a moral compass anchor for our defamation law studies. And we'll follow it up next week with a deeper reflection related to the defences. So for today's purposes, that is our reflection. But don't leave quickly. Let's take a couple of more breaths before we start to exit our reflection session. Thank you for joining us. May you be safe. May you be well. May you be content. And we'll see you next time.